Welcome to Strictly Anime, a podcast for anime reviews and discussions by casuals for casuals. My name is Courtney.
And I am Carl.
This is episode 58, and we're discussing our fall 2021 anime first impressions. This episode will be spoiler-free, so no worries if you haven't seen any of the anime on our list. We've already started another season. This year has absolutely flown by. This is it, the last quarter of 2021. How does that make you feel?
Like I wasted all this time.
It was a really busy year for us. Mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of feel the same. Like I feel like I wasted the year, but I mean, not really. We did a ton of stuff. We had a lot of like weddings and events and all sorts of fun stuff going on throughout the year.
That's true. I felt like summer was long while we were in summer, but now that it's October, it's like, where did the time go?
Yeah. I think most of the stuff that we were doing was packed into summer, because for anyone who hasn't experienced it, summers in Chicago are always a great time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we only get about 3 to 4 months of summer, so we the city definitely takes advantage of it.
Well, I mean, we hit a nice balance of the four seasons, but it feels very limited summer-wise, because then you don't really have a fall. And then sometimes you just jump straight into winter.
We still have a fall. We're in it. Well, not right now. October's been incredibly warm, and right now it's raining. But normally our fall is pretty fall-esque. I learned in school, I hope this is correct, you know, because I learned it in school, that like Illinois and the Midwest, it's one of the only places in the country, really, that experiences four full seasons. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Our winters suck ass, but our summers are amazing. So that's what we have to look forward to. And, now it's fall. My favorite holiday is coming up.
Spooky season.
We have anime to go along with that, just in time for spooky season. And we're going to talk all about that in just a minute. But we wanted to start off with some catch-up pieces, some reminders of things going on here at the Strictly series. So to start off, Attack on Titan recently got a confirmed premiere date, and that is January 9th. 2022.
I feel like you always ask, you announce this, and then we don't have it on deck.
I feel like I'm correct in saying it's January 9th, 2022, but then when I go and actually verbalize that, I start to second guess myself.
Looking it up right now. Yeah, January 9th, January 10th, depending on where you are in the world.
Perfect. Okay, I got it right. So as a reminder, on our end here at Strictly Anime, we will be doing our Attack on Titan review series. We're bringing back that special event where, in addition to our regular schedule of weekly episodes on Mondays, we're also going to review every single Attack on Titan episode in this part two of the final season. Usually those come out on Wednesdays. So if the Attack on Titan episodes premiere over the weekend, then we'll record and post those episodic reviews every Wednesday. So look forward to that. And similarly, over at our other podcast, Strictly JoJo, for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, we'll be doing a part six review series when that premieres in December. Still no official premiere date as of today's recording, but we will be doing weekly review episodes over there. We'll take a pause between parts two, which we're almost, I think we're finishing in the next week or so, between parts two and part three, to do our weekly reviews of part six, Stone Ocean. So if you are a JoJo fan and you haven't ventured over to Strictly JoJo, be sure to do so, especially before we kick that review series off in December.
So it's going to be a stacked winter for us.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have Strictly Anime and then the Attack on Titan review series and then the JoJo part six review series all going on at the exact same time. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a fantastic start to 2022. And then in other anime news, very timely, I guess, for me, because I'm a big fan of this show, Don't Toy With Me, Nagatoro just got confirmed for a season two. Let's go, Nagatoro fans. Woo! I know you didn't watch it.
I've seen parts
an episode
of it.
Or two, yeah, when I was watching it. It's my guilty pleasure anime, and I'm very excited for them to continue the story. So that was fun to see that announcement come through. I think the creator had again, image or two that he made to celebrate that announcement. But all right, let's get into it. Let's talk through our fall 2021 anime first impressions. I think this is a pretty solid list. There's way more anime on this list than there was for our summer 2021 review. And if you want to hear our final thoughts on the season after it's finished, it is exclusive for patrons. So head over to patreon.com/thestrictlyseries. We recently posted our summer 2021 end of season review, and it was pretty honest, I would say. Yeah. Yeah, summer was okay. And we talked through that in great detail over on our Patreon page. So check that out if you're interested in hearing those final thoughts, either for summer or for our upcoming fall review. So let's talk ongoing anime first, because we do have one that's, I guess, more of an extended ongoing anime, because it started, actually premiered in spring 2021, and that is 86 season one.
86, those patties, crabs.
Shout out to Emily D, who reached out to us to recommend 86. So we're watching that, and we're hoping to go straight into the second season, because that's premiering as part of fall season. And we really appreciate you, Emily, for letting us know that we need to finally commit to 86. Because it was, I had my eye on it for a while. I heard a lot of buzz on social media about it, but I never committed. And your note, your email, was the push that we needed to finally watch the show.
And it was a great recommendation. So thank you again, Emily.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate you. I would say for 86, it's like, we're still early on. It's a lot of exposition and world building in the beginning, but all of it is very interesting. I don't know. The concept of this war going on and things kind of happening remotely, I guess you could say, without really spoiling too much about the plots, is kind of cool. And it sometimes gives me like Attack on Titan vibes.
Yeah, and I feel like if we talk about it too much, we might delve into spoiler territory for Attack on Titan, but I got the same vibe as well. And again, without spoiling too much, this show is basically a proxy war, if anyone knows what proxy war means. But yeah, it's been great. Just another way of anime to look at conflict as much as like Attack on Titan does, in a different light than, you know, the glorification of war, things along those lines.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far, and the second season is doing phenomenal right now. It's got a pretty high score for this fall grouping of anime, and clearly we were missing out on something. So once again, thank you, Emily, for sending us this recommendation. We're excited to dive into it and hopefully talk about it in more detail on this podcast. Also ongoing from summer 2021 is Fena Pirate Princess. And yes, I confirmed I confirmed this pronunciation on Toonami. I looked up the trailers, I guess, on Toonami, and they do pronounce it as Fena. It's weird because I kept saying Fena, because that seems like the more natural pronunciation, but it's,
I was going to say, it's like Xena Warrior Princess, and then there's Fena Pirate Princess. Is that where you got that?
I don't know. Pronunciation? I guess so, maybe.
Right? Well, that was the show, Xena
Warrior? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's Fena, so I'm going to say Fena, even though I keep thinking of like feta cheese. But yes, Fena Pirate Princess, it has 12 episodes. We are on episode 11, so the season finale is coming up literally this weekend. And I saw on Twitter, on Fena Pirate Princess official Twitter page, it said, tune in this weekend for the season finale. And I was like, oh, season? What does that mean? Are we getting a season two? I would love a season two. I would absolutely love a season two. I am enjoying this show so much. I think it's kind of sad how underwhelming the fandom is for this show, probably because it's an anime original and it premiered super, super late in the summer 2021 season. So it just kind of had all the cards stacked against it. But I'm hoping, similar to like Vinland Saga, there'll be enough talk about it where people will watch it after the fact and that it'll get more appreciation than what it currently has.
Yeah, this was a surprisingly good show for something that is probably just going to be a sleeper hit for summer. And it's not like, I wouldn't say it's outstanding. It's a very standard kind of anime, but I guess just the execution of it is what draws us in. And even the story, it didn't seem as much of like a swashbuckling adventure as like Pirate Princess, the name implies. Yeah. But I think we talked about it. It gives off like Uncharted vibes, kind of like the like El Dorado
or
like,
National Treasure.
That's
vibes,
it. Yeah, like that Cage. Treasure hunt vibe, and especially learning more about Fena's character, you just get so engrossed in the lore of the world, and it seems to be this season seems to be wrapping up almost as a standalone. But it'll be interesting to see if they do have a season two. And where they can continue with the story from there.
I really hope they do. And for anyone who's not familiar, Fena Pirate Princess is the, I guess, the brainchild of Adult Swim and Crunchyroll. They teamed up to produce this one. And I was hesitant about it because, you know, whenever I see things like a Crunchyroll original or a Netflix original, you know, you kind of have a bit of pause. But they're doing a fantastic job. Like, I forgot that Adult Swim knows anime. For those in our generation of, you know, weebdom, we grew up on Adult Swim anime. Like, they know that shit. They know what good anime is. And, yeah, they're just knocking it out of the park with Fena. So if you haven't watched it, if it's on your watch list, highly encourage you to give it a try. Like you just said, it's not mind-blowing, but it is an absolutely solid anime with fantastic animation and a really, I think, engrossing story. I was reading too that the history pieces about it are pretty spot on. I'm not a history buff, but there's some fans out there who are pretty impressed with the accuracy and kind of the way they infuse history throughout the show. So yeah, that could be another piece of enjoyment. Lastly, ongoing from summer 2021 is something I'm watching but you're not watching, and that's fine because you don't need to watch this one, is Ganbare Doki-chan. Has 12 episodes. I'm on episode 5. I am current. And I don't know. Like, it's fine, I guess. Unless you're a big fan of this author, I don't think it's worth it to really dive into this. Or if you got, you know, a couple minutes to spare, you know, each week you could throw it away on Ganbare Doki-chan because each episode's only about 5 to 6 minutes. And I wasn't expecting that. I was watching it on Crunchyroll the first episode, and then it just kind of stopped with the end card. And then I was like sitting there, I'm like, oh, maybe that's the eye catch in the middle of the episode. And then nothing was changing. And I scrolled, you know, my mouse over the bar at the bottom. And I'm like, oh my God, that was the whole episode. 5.5, 6 minutes. So yeah, if you've got some spare time and you like some fan service, then you can watch Ganbare Doki-chan. But it's really nothing to go out of your way to watch.
Then I won't watch it.
I don't know much about it. All I know is that it's some sort of, I don't know if it's a webcomic or a manga, but people really enjoy the art style and they just kind of whip this little series together. And it just follows a girl who really likes her senpai and is competing with other chicks for that senpai's affection. And there's big boobies. Lots of plot. So there you go. Now moving on to currently airing anime for fall 2021. We'll start off with an easy one, similar to Ganbare Doki-chan. That is Deji Meets Girl. I don't know how many episodes it's supposed to have, but we are on episode 4. We are current with it. And they are shorter than Doki-chan's episodes. They're 2-minute episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as a South Park reference, you're watching the episode and it's going great and then it's gone.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm so frustrated with the show because I love the art style. And I think this has so much potential. I would totally watch this as a full show. It's got great animation, interesting story and characters. But it's like as soon as I start to get into an episode, it's already over. It's like a dick tease every single week. And it's very, very infuriating.
It feels like this is supposed to be a commercial for something.
Yeah.
And then like you have to watch the commercial in sequence to understand what's going on. But even, I think we're 3 episodes in.
4.
4? Jesus. we only really start to understand what's going on by the 4th episode, or at least the main characters start to explain a little bit of like their backstories.
Yeah.
But it's still so abstract, like what's going on in this show, that I can't even begin to explain what I've seen.
Part of me almost wants to hold off until it's finished and then wait for someone to put a, like, quote-unquote compilation video together where they just piece or stitch all of these 2-minute episodes into one long block. But even then, I feel like it would just be very sporadic because there's no real, well, I guess between episodes 3 and 4, there is kind of a nice tie-in from the previous episode. But between, like, episodes 1, 2, and 3, they're very piecemeal. So it would just kind of seem like all over the place.
Yeah. And they have just very abrupt endings. But kind of like what you said with Ganbare Doki-chan, do you think this is a concept, like this, these shorts, that will continue to be explored with other shows in the future?
I hope not. It's just kind of annoying to me. Like, if it's this short, can't you just make it into one long OVA or like a mini movie? Because I don't know. I feel like waiting a week in between to get 2 minutes of content, less technically, because in that 2 minutes is like the 30-second, you know, OP or ED, depending on when it shows up in the episode. So I would rather just wait. And, you know, normally I'm impatient, I'm a binge watcher, but I would rather just wait on this and have it as like one big package. So
maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it appeals to people who just don't have the time to watch anime. So yeah. They just need a quick fix every week.
Yeah, like I said, this has great potential. I want to watch more of this. I want this to be a full show, but it's just kind of disappointing that we're not going to get it. I will certainly finish it out because I'm enjoying what I am seeing, but I'll feel like I'm not fully satisfied by the end of it. I just know it.
Fun fact, I guess before we move on, is that Deji Meets Girl, I think it's an original work. It's not based on any manga, but it's produced by Light & Films, who recently wrapped up on Tokyo Revengers.
Oh.
So, well, a very drastically different art style from Tokyo Revengers. This one's almost more of like a, feels like a almost like a summer movie with the way it's drawn.
Yeah, and I love it. I haven't really seen anything with this type of art style. I think it looks gorgeous. The colors are so fun. The characters are drawn just very soft and very nice. It's just very pleasing to look at. But then it's not pleasing when it just ends after 2 minutes. Next up is Yashahime Season 2. There are rumored to be about 24 episodes. I'm actually only one episode in. I'm not current. I gotta catch up. I'm watching this. You're not, because I'm the big Inuyasha fan and you've never seen Inuyasha. I'm gonna get you to watch it someday. I'm gonna get you to watch it.
All I know is the Boku Tachi wa.
And it's worth it. You know what? It's worth
and
it.
And I want to change the world.
That's a good one too, actually. But basically, it's just a continuation of the first act of Yashahime, because it did end on a pretty big cliffhanger. And I'm enjoying it basically at the same level that I enjoyed season one. And I kind of still have the same sentiment. I really hope this second season concludes this Yashahime story. It's good, but it's only good. And as a diehard Inuyasha fan, I'm conflicted because more Inuyasha content is almost always welcome. But I am also like, they had their happy ending from, you know, when the main series ended, and now it's been upturned with this this continuation of the story. So I'm just excited mostly to see any scenes that have Sesshomaru or Inuyasha or Kagome or Moroku. And then when I sit through the scenes that focus on the three main girls, I'm like, this is good, but you know, it's just good. So I'll definitely finish it out, hoping that I can do a review on it just to complete this series. And I hope it ends nicely with this season two and we can move on with our lives. Next up is Demon Slayer Mugen Train arc. 7 episodes. We are not current because I think the third episode just came out.
We are current. We watched the
okay,
damn
yes.
movie.
We're not current with an asterisk because we did watch the first episode, which is original content or new content, but we haven't started the actual movie pieces of it, which is episodes 2 through 7. And truthfully, I'm kind of holding off, right? Because I want to watch the remaining 6 episodes from a completionist sake. And I know there are additional frames, but it's like, is that really worth rewatching the entire movie again to see just, you know, a couple hundred extra frames? Because what does that translate into in terms of actual minutes of extra content?
Like half a minute.
Yeah. So I don't know. I love watching Demon Slayer. I love all things Demon Slayer, but I already watched Mugen Train. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah. And, you know, like, when they announced season 2, I was obviously excited because we loved watching the first season. What was that, like, 1 or 2 years ago? I don't even remember. I think it was 2 years ago because I know the movie came out 2020 in Japan, and then it got released here this year.
We watched Demon Slayer as soon as the season ended because we were clearly missing out on all the hype and we started late.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was obviously very pumped for season 2, but when they announced that the first, I guess, I don't think it would be half, but, you know, first part of the season would just be a recap of the Mugen Train arc, it kind of made my hype die down a little bit. It didn't die down, but it tainted my hype. Because, you know, what was the point of watching the movie if we're just going to get another recap during season two? And, you know, I get it. Maybe like for live television purposes, they wanted to do that for people who haven't watched the movie. But the movie is available on streaming services. Not just Funimation. Like I saw it on Crunchyroll as I was looking for this first episode of season two. So it's available. And even if there are a couple extra frames in it, I don't want to have to sit through that again.
Yeah, I agree. I think just let people know at the beginning of the series, like do a quick recap. Not a recap episode, because I hate recap episodes, but a quick recap at the start of season two saying, you know, here's what happened during the Mugen Train arc. And then, I don't know, just like mention the Mugen Train movie so that people know, oh shit, if I haven't seen it yet, I should go watch this movie and then dive into season two. But yeah, to recreate the entire movie as like a 6-part episodic series, I enjoyed the movie, but I wasn't planning on rewatching it, and I probably wouldn't want to use the time here to rewatch it through these 6 episodes.
And granted, the first episode of this season, which is titled Flame Hashira Kyojuro Rengoku, it is new content. It kind of explains what this Flame Hashira was doing prior to the events of the movie. But without spoiling it too much, this episode only gave us context as to why he was eating a bento box on the train. Like, that's the best way I can explain this episode.
It's a good episode. I think if you really like Demon Slayer, it's worth it to watch this. I don't regret watching it. I thought it was fun. And it helped to kind of build on Rengoku's character, where we really only get context about him in the movie. And that's not a lot of time to learn about a character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worth it to watch it. But again, like to have it as a lead up to rewatching the movie, I think it's kind of silly. Like, just make it the first episode of season two and then just be like, oh, by the way, go watch Mugen Train movie and then jump into the rest of season two.
Yeah, I guess that's the benefit of having these episodes kind of retell the story of the movie, because it can probably focus a little bit more on character development. I know that was one piece of the movie that we kind of criticized back in our review. But again, I just want the red light arc, the entertainment district arc.
We all want it. I'm so excited for it. Oh my God. Well, we'll have to, I guess, hold out or use this to hold us over until that premieres in December, January?
I would assume, once these 7 episodes are done, which will probably be like December.
Next up is Komi Can't Communicate. I don't know how many it's supposed to have, probably around like 12 to 13. We are current with episode 3, and I'm loving it so far. I knew about it for a long time because of the hype from all the manga readers. It, you know, this manga showing up time and time again on different, like, I don't know, anime type subreddits and Twitter accounts and all that stuff. So I was fully aware of Komi-san and the big following that it has. And I was kind of surprised at how quickly it got an anime adaptation, but I've been looking forward to it since that announcement, and it has not disappointed so far.
So it says here, I'm looking at Wikipedia, that the manga, the original run, began on 2016. So does it take like about 4 or 5 years for something to get an anime adaptation?
I think so. As everyone knows, I don't read manga, but I think it takes just, you know, a couple of years if something's really popular. But then again, you've got stuff like The Devil's a Part-Timer, where season 2 took another 8 years to come out, even though the manga's way far ahead now. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's great, though. It's so funny. I love the super emphasized comedy, like how dramatic characters' reactions are to every situation, but it doesn't do it too much. It doesn't go too far where I'm like, okay, chill, like this isn't that funny. I think it strikes a perfect balance with each scene, and I think the baseline plot is really endearing too, knowing that Komi-san literally can't communicate because she has major social anxiety, but she's revered as like this godlike figure at her school because she's absolutely gorgeous and perfect in every, you know, way, shape, and form. And then a very plain looking boy commits to helping her make friends.
Plain looking.
He's a plain boy.
Does not fit in with the art style of anyone else on the show, which is fine. I think that plays up to the comedic element of the show. But Yeah, when you told me like this show has been kind of eagerly anticipated by like manga fans, like as soon as I watched the first episode, I understood why. And even that first episode felt like it could have stood as its own movie. Like it felt like it had almost a beginning and an end. I mean, I think the whole plot of the show is for Tadano to help Komi find 100 friends. So obviously there's more to it than that first episode. But I don't know. That first episode just hooked me right away.
I think they're going to be able to strike a great balance or a great transition between comedy and drama. And the first episode, to your point, showcased that because it was just so funny. And then it moved into this dramatic moment between Komi and Tadano as they're, I guess, getting to know each other. I won't say too much more beyond that. But if they can continue that energy, if they can continue that balance, this is going to be a fantastic show for fall.
I'm just going to say it. Komi is best girl for this season.
Oh, 100%.
Like, don't at me. I just love her character so much. And, you know, the faces that she makes when she gets nervous and you see the little jitters on her figure, it's just so kawaii. And it makes me wonder, like, how much did her voice actor get paid just to make mouth or breathing sounds?
Yeah, like, easiest voice acting job ever.
Like, I know in the later episodes, she does speak a little bit, and it's kind of funny. Like, there's the most recent episode we watched, there was a scene that kind of showcases that. It was just, it was pulled off so perfectly. I was just laughing out loud. But, yeah, it's almost like she's getting paid as much as Mark Hamill did for a short cameo in The Force Awakens.
She's getting paid to show up and make noises. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very much enjoying this show. And it's kind of structured. Yeah, I don't watch Nagatoro too much, but its episodes are kind of split up into segments, much like Nagatoro is, right?
Yes, I would say longer segments than Nagatoro. But Nagatoro does eventually move into more of an overarching plot line. So I would assume that would be the same here. It kind of feels like it's moving that direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's her making friends along the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, great show. Can't wait to continue watching this one. And just in time for spooky season, we have Mieruko-chan. 12 episodes. We are current with episode 3. And I've got to say, they've got my attention. I love Miko's unexpected reaction to seeing ghosts. And even with just the first episode, everything was very, very funny, very well done. And she has basically the opposite reaction of every horror movie ever. For those who aren't aware, the basic plot is that Miko can see ghosts, but she pretends like she can't because she doesn't want the ghosts to know that she can see them. And it's great.
Yeah. So, backstory on myself, I hate horror.
Yeah.
Anything related to the horror genre. But I really love this show, too. And I think it's because it strikes a nice balance between the horror aspect and, like, the comedy slice of life. And it's not like the horror characters are grotesque enough to make me not want to watch. Like, it's still, even the way they're drawn, it's very comical. Like, I don't
know. It's creepy, but comical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, her reaction to seeing a ghost, like, she is braver than I could be. Like, if I had a ghost staring at me, at my reflection in a mirror, I wouldn't have stayed cool. But it's like her inner monologue is what's really freaking out. I just love when she's like, yabai.
Yeah, conceptually, this is fantastic. Of course, a very smart season to make this a fall anime because Halloween is coming up. I think the way the schedule is, there actually should be a new episode that premieres on Halloween.
Oh,
so
perfect.
That works out great. But I don't know. I think it's really good so far. I don't want to, of course, spoil anything about what's going on in the show. But I also love just the blend of cute slice of life elements with grotesque, creepy horror elements. And even the ED for this show is, it kind of resembles that because it's a very cutesy, typical shoujo type of ending. And then suddenly like a bunch of ghosts disappear. And you have to go watch. It's hard to describe, but the way they did it is very comical and very well done. So I'm into this show. I am excited to finish it out. I don't know if they'll be able to complete the story in 12 episodes, but if they can't, I really hope they give it a season 2. And from the creator of Death Note, we have reverse Death Note, aka Platinum End, which I believe is confirmed for 24 episodes. We are current on episode 3. And it's not really reverse Death Note, but no, sometimes it feels like it is.
I mean, the main character, what's his name? Mirai.
Yes.
Right, which is future.
I believe it's future.
In Japanese. His character design just looks like a negative type of Light Yagami.
Like if you took the colors. Yeah,
if you flip the colors, like that's Light Yagami. But no, he's drastically different from Light. And I guess conceptually, they're similar in that there are these supernatural creatures that appear on the show. But I think, you know, plot-wise, they're very much different. Because Mirai, as much as he looks like Light, does not have the same confidence and swagger that Light does.
Well, I feel like he's a reverse Light. Because, like, physically, he's a reverse Light Yagami with basically the same fucking hairstyle. But then personality-wise, he's also a reverse Light Yagami because Light was, to your point, incredibly confident, seemed like the perfect person. And then here, Mirai is not confident at all. Is more of a good person, I would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the creator is trying to emulate pieces of Death Note, knowing how much of a success that is and how strong the fandom is around it, but is still giving us an original story. I think it's more of like him acknowledging Death Note as almost an Easter egg to the fans of Death Note. But this is still a standalone story that is not connected pretty much in any way to Death Note.
Yeah, I think the one thing I noticed was that they use Sakura TV again.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, kind of like we're still within that universe, but not really. It's more like you said, an Easter egg or an homage.
Yeah, and I don't mind that either. I certainly don't feel like it's him trying to recreate Death Note because he, you know, is tied to the success of that story. I just think, again, it's a nod or an homage to a story that people really loved back in the day. And I mean, no sense in ignoring the fact that he's the creator of Death Note. Why not make it fun and say, oh, by the way, Sakura TV is still a thing. This guy looks like fucking Light Yagami, but you don't have to have watched Death Note at all to watch the show.
I guess in another way, it's similar to Death Note in that there is this talk of like being a god without spoiling too much of what happens in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's approached in a different way. And going back to the supernatural beings of the show, like whereas with Death Note, you had Shinigami, this time around you have angels. But what I find interesting about them is like us, or like me, you know, having a Catholic Christian background, you assume angels to be these very upstanding beings.
Pure beings.
You're right. But in this show, it seems like they're very amoral. So it's almost like they act similarly to Shinigami, which is just a very interesting thing, especially with what these angel characters are trying to accomplish. It's almost like they're backhanded or very sly in what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I think thematically, Death Note and Platinum End are very much aligned. I think there's these themes. Both explore the concept of with great power comes great responsibility, yes. Spider-Man fans. but basically human nature, human tendency, when you're given an extraordinary amount of power and when you're given a very attainable, outrageous goal.
Which I realize Mirai is the opposite of Light here too. He's almost along the same lines of Yoshikage Kira from JoJo.
He just wants to live a quiet life.
Whereas Light wants to go fuck shit up. But
yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I think this could also be, it's got good potential. It's not hitting as hard as Death Note did right out of the gate, but I think it's got potential to be a really solid show. Next up is My Senpai is Annoying. 12 episodes. I am current with episode 3. You're not watching this, but I think you would like it because it is, ladies and gentlemen, a slice of life rom-com about working adults. Let's fucking go. It's not about high schoolers. Is
the Office anime?
Basically, it's not about high schoolers. It's not about junior high students. It's about actual working adults post-college. And I'm here for it, only because it's pretty rare that we get something like this. And again, it is a rom-com. But based on where we're at in the story, I could really go either way in this relationship. Like, if it ends up being a romance, if it ends up being a friendship, I think either direction, this is going to be a very wholesome show that isn't necessarily pure because there's plenty of fan service and plenty of adult themes explored. But I think it's just going to be a really good show, like a feel-good show for the season. And I'm here for it. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. But I think that you should watch it too. I feel like you'd like the comedy in it.
I'll give it a watch. I'll add it to my list.
Oh, okay. Well,
just because you mentioned office culture. Yeah. That's something rare that you see in anime.
I mean, Japanese office culture, but yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Then if you want to watch it, catch up to the first three episodes and we'll watch episode 4 onward together. Another show that I'm watching that you're not watching is Taisho Maiden Fairy Tale. I believe
I'm not watching that.
I believe it is 12 episodes confirmed. I am current with episode 3. And the main character is a male tsundere. So, you know, I'm already interested because I love my male tsunderes. But I was expecting this to be a kind of like a middle-of-the-road slice-of-life romance. But there's actually some decent themes around mental health, familial struggles, and overcoming difficult situations that I was not expecting just from the looks of this and from watching the trailers. I think that this is a show that's not going to be a top contender for this season, but is certainly a solid watch for anyone who enjoys really cutesy romance stuff, enjoys male tsundere as much as I do, and also enjoys a nice blend of comedy and drama. And last up for the currently airing stuff for fall 2021 is Tact Op Destiny, if I'm saying that correctly. Tact Operation Destiny. I don't know what the
op is.
Yeah.
I thought it was Opus because of the music theme, but Tact Op.
Well, either way, I don't think there's a confirmed set of episodes, but we are current with episode 3. And if they keep this energy going, this is a very promising show for fall.
What was I going to call this one? Oh, this is literally the power of music. This
<Yeah. show.
laughs> and it has a very video gamey feel with the premise. Again, using music in a way to fight monsters. And I researched it a little bit more. There is a tie-in mobile game to this show. Actually, I don't know if it's like the show came first and then the mobile game, or if this is just a franchise like altogether. And the anime is an offshoot of that franchise. But it kind of explains, the way I looked at it, it was like the first episode felt like I was watching a different universe, like a variation of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay.
Right? Even like the, and to kind of tie it in with JoJo, like the music stand that appears in the show feels like she has a keyblade. And then you have the music too, which makes you feel like for the climactic scenes you're playing you're like fighting a boss in like a Kingdom Hearts or like any other action game.
Yeah, this show so far is a grand spectacle. I believe this is both a MAPPA and Madhouse anime, so of course it's gonna look gorgeous. But the first episode blew me away, not only for the action scenes and the phenomenal animation, but the characters. I got engulfed in the characters almost immediately without even knowing their names. And the comedy was very unexpected because it starts off pretty dramatic. And then it just like they give you these pops of like comedic elements that seemingly come out of nowhere, but play very well into that particular moment or that situation. It's kind of hard to describe the way they balance the comedy pieces here. But yeah, very, very impressive episode 1. They kind of dive into backstory pretty quickly with episode 2, but I think the world building here is super interesting and is setting us up for something pretty phenomenal. So I'm very much enjoying this one. Like I said, I hope they keep this energy going because I am definitely interested in seeing more.
And, you know, me being a music aficionado, I do appreciate the musical elements of this show. The main character, his name is Tact, isn't it?
I think so.
like he is an accomplished pianist. And so a lot of the musical pieces in the show are like actual classical piano pieces. The most prominent of which, I think in episode 1 that we heard, is Moonlight Sonata. And this show has actually encouraged me because there's another piece of music here written by piano piece written by Beethoven. What was it? Symphony number 5? I don't know. Regardless, it feels like it was written specifically for the show, but it's a Beethoven piece. And so I looked it up, I printed out the sheet music, and now I am practicing it on the piano. So
yeah,
I,
immediately after, we binged the first three episodes, we were a bit behind. We binged the first three episodes, and immediately after, you printed it, and then you started playing piano for the rest of the night, which is great. It was fun to listen to, but it's nice when anime inspires you to want to do something.
Yeah.
Whatever that something is, well, hopefully it's a good something.
So I'd like to thank this anime for... shaking the rust off my fingers and for me to dabble in piano again. The song's Pathetic by Beethoven.
Very interesting title for a song.
Which I think it's one of the movements. I forget which movement, but it's a very beautiful song.
I know. I keep asking you too every time I say something about music. I'm like, what does that mean? What is that? And then when they show like the characters playing piano, I'm like, is that accurate? Are they actually playing the correct
piece? Yeah. It feels like a lot of the piano playing sections of this show, they seem rotoscoped. So they're hitting like the right keys. Kind of comparing it to, you know, I'm still working through Marmalade Boy. I'm on the last 15 episodes of that. But there's a character on that show too that plays piano, but it's just his animation is just his hands moving back and forth on the piano. And then you jump to 2021 and you have this anime, which is like rotoscoping the shit out of these hands, and it looks gorgeous. But yeah, I definitely appreciate all the musical references of this show, and look forward to more of that as it goes along.
The only completed anime on our list for this season, no surprise here, is The Way of the House Husband, season 2. 5 episodes that Netflix dumped because they like to dump episodes or series in their entirety. And I will say it is definitely better than season 1, but only in terms of how dramatic the comedy is. I would say it's funnier than season 1, but you're not getting really anything different in terms of animation or any other pieces. And I know that that's where the show took a huge hit, was with the PowerPoint style animation.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they kind of upped the animation a bit, although part of me feels like even though this happened with Great Pretender as well, where they said this was a season 2, it just felt like all of these episodes were created at once and they just staggered the release for these last
five
episodes.
It's more like a part 2 than a season 2.
Yeah. But again, without criticizing the animation too much, like you said, what holds the show up well is the comedy. And it was amped up a bit in the second half. But I still was kind of hoping for an overarching plot with this, because these are still just random vignettes of Tatsu's day.
We got like a breadcrumb about Tatsu and his wife's backstory. Like, I mean, like 5 seconds worth of content, but it was enough to kind of let you know how they first met. And that was cool. But to your point, yeah, I think conceptually, this would be a fantastic story to explore, like a former Yakuza's transition from that type of life into regular civilian life and the struggles that he has with that and his wife and everything. But I don't know if maybe the manga explores that at all. It could be that the manga is the exact same way where they don't explore it. Mm. But again, that would be cool. I think it would just be awesome. Even if they did a spinoff of sorts where they followed it and it was more of a drama, I'd watch it.
I actually found clips of the live action TV series that adapted the manga, and that one does go into like drama, I guess, you know, because live action has to have like a coherent plot for it to catch an audience. But I would have loved to see that translated to the anime. Who knows if this gets adapted for a quote unquote season 3, maybe they'll start adding bits and elements to that. But I don't know. I do have a friend who's read the manga, so I might reach out to him and say, or just to ask, like, is this what the show is going to be like for the rest of its runtime? But we'll see.
Yeah, I think if you watched season 1 of Way of the House Husband and you're fine like completing it, yeah, it's worth a watch. If I'm just taking it at the baseline, I enjoyed season two or part two or whatever it is. So I don't regret watching it, but I also could have gone my life without having ever seen this and been totally fine.
Oh, and the last great part of the show is obviously Kenjiro Suda as Tatsu.
Oh, fantastic.
I think he is starting to become more of my favorite VA, much as Tomokazu Sugita is yours.
Ooh.
His voice is just sexy.
And he's got really good, he can fit quite a range of characters. I mean, Tatsu is very different than the god narrator dude from...
The Beholder from To Your Eternity. Yeah. Or even... Overhaul from My Hero.
Yeah.
And I forgot that he was Kento from Jujutsu Kaisen, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But great, great VA.
And finally, on to the upcoming stuff for fall 2021, the upcoming anime that has not actually started yet but is on our watch list. So just kind of running through these pretty quick here. 86 season 2, as we mentioned earlier, we're just starting with season 1. It is airing, but for us, we haven't started yet because we'll start it as soon as we're able to. We also have Sing a Bit of Harmony, which is a movie that comes out October 29th, I think. Yeah, October 29th. And I don't know much about it. I think it's a music anime, a slice of life high school anime. But it looks nice. The key visuals look fun. So anytime there's a music anime, I know you want to watch it.
But something else comes out October 29th, doesn't it?
Yes. That would be Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie?
No, My Hero.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry, sorry. You're jumping ahead of my list here. So, yes, I guess I'll skip down to My Hero Academia World Heroes Mission comes out October 29th. We already have our tickets. We will be seeing it premiere night, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we will get our review out the following Monday. And I hope it's canon. Please, for the love of God, let this one be canon.
I don't know. This one seems like it's going to be like the second one.
It kind of follows the Endeavor internship arc. So maybe it's just extra stuff that happened in between. But
I feel they're just canon. Yeah, they're just squeezing it in just because they have that space to work with without messing with the actual canon too much.
Oh, My Hero. Well, it's okay. As long as it's as good as the second movie, which is Two Heroes.
Yeah, no, Heroes Rising?
I thought Heroes Rising was the first one. We
all these fucking...
Quick, look it up.
hero taglines. No, it was Heroes Rising. The Heroes Rising was the second movie. Heroes was the first movie.
Okay, Heroes Rising, the second My Hero movie, was really fucking good. But unfortunately, I guess you could categorize it as not canon. I don't know, as long as it's a good movie, I'll be happy at the end of the day. And yeah, we'll see what comes of that. Another movie that I already said was Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie, which comes out December 24th. So just in time for Christmas, you can watch Jujutsu Kaisen.
Watch a horror action.
About curses. But this is, I guess, the prequel to what happens in the Jujutsu Kaisen main anime. And I don't know a lot about it, but manga readers are hyping the shit out of this one. So I am very excited to watch it. And similarly, our goal is to have our review out the following Monday after it premieres, assuming that it comes out in the U.S. on the 24th. So there is that caveat there. It's basically whether or not it's accessible to us here in the U.S. We'll plan our review shortly after it does become available. And second to last on our watch list is yet another movie, and this is Summer Ghost, comes out November 12th, and I don't know about it too much. It's another, I think, slice of life high school anime, but I think it's about some sort of like urban legend about a ghost of some girl, and the boy and the girl do things and go on an adventure. They do some stuff, they go on some adventure. I don't know, the trailer looked good, so I was like, throw that bad boy on the list. And last up, at least on my watch list, I don't know if you have anything else, is Super Crooks, which I literally put on my watch list like yesterday. So I really don't know anything about it. I think it premieres, I'm pulling up mail right now, premieres November 25th. I think this is a Netflix anime. Honestly, art style wise, it looks just like Great Pretender. But I think it's about not espionage, but
it's about heists. A team of, I'm reading a premise, team of eight supervillains that will perform a superpowered heist in Spain. I've researched this a little bit more. This actually isn't based on a manga. It is based on a comic book series, I believe made here in the States by Mark Millar and Lionel Francis Yu.
Oh, so we kind of have a reverse situation going on here. Mm-hmm. Interesting. The anime industry is going in some very interesting directions. Normally you see adaptations here off of, you know, Japanese original works, but now we're getting an anime based off of a U.S. original work.
And guess who's voicing the main character?
Who?
Kenjiro Suda.
Oh, shit. Okay,
this is jumping up on my list.
Sign us up. So, yeah, Super Crooks is on the list. Again, it comes out in November, and we'll see. I'm always hesitant with Netflix anime just because they always seem to just, I don't know, lack something. Depending on the anime, it always is lacking something that makes it great. But here, if it's it says a Marvel comic, is that right?
Yes. The series was published by the Icon Comics imprint of Marvel Comics.
Well, there you go. So maybe it'll have a lot of promise because the source is Marvel. Marvel-esque. I don't know. Do you have anything else on your list? Is my upcoming list pretty much your upcoming list?
Yeah. There were only two other fall anime that kind of caught my eye. I was looking through Mel's fall lineup. One is Osama Ranking, or Ranking of Kings.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but it's got a fantastic score right now.
Yeah. I think the premise is like it's this very young prince who is probably next in line to be king of his realm or something. I think the key visual is like this toddler-like person, like this toddler that's sitting on a throne. I feel like this is going to just ramp up in comedy aspect. I watched the trailer and the art style is very striking. It's almost as like visually similar to like a Studio Ghibli movie, but I also compared it to like animation of early 80s American cartoons, or I guess to put it in like modern terms, it looks like Steven Universe if Steven Universe were an anime, because it doesn't look like an anime at all, but it's developed by an anime studio. So I think it's has a couple, like one or two episodes out now, so might have to play a bit of catch up, but that was one that I was eyeing.
Well, you know what? Fuck it. I just added it to my watch list. Let's watch it because the score is great. It's at an 8.55 right now. Numbers-wise, I mean, you've got like 41,000 folks have it on their list. But I think it could be interesting. I'm looking at some key visuals. I'm down to watch it. So there. It's on my list. Let's watch it.
Perfect. The other one, which also looks visually stunning and interesting, is Haike Monogatari, or Haike... The Tale of the Haike. I think this is a modern Japanese retelling of a Japanese epic surrounding the rise and fall of the Taira clan, which I think is unique in the anime realm because a lot of anime focus on the war period of Japan, the Sengoku period with like Nobunaga and all those characters. But this is a story that takes place outside of that period of time. This one, I watched the trailer for it and it has an interesting art style that's not overly anime, but I think the story is told through the eyes of this young minstrel girl who has two different colored eyes. What is it called, like heterochromia? And I think she has some sort of magical abilities, but she just witnesses, I guess, the rise and fall of this family clan in their quest to seek control of Japan. So this one I might wait on until like the whole series is finished, but it was definitely an interesting thing to catch, so I might add this to my list.
I'm looking at the VAs right now, and Rohan's voice actor Takahiro Sakurai, he's in this and he's awesome, aka Gyu from Demon Slayer, aka Shitan from Fena Pirate Princess.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same actor.
Yeah, I think it's Rohan. Hang on. I want to confirm. I always second guess this shit.
I like how you said...
yes, it's Rohan.
Okay, I was going to say, you said the voice actor for Giorno was the same one for Naoto in Tokyo Avengers.
Okay, he sounded similar, okay?
No, it's not.
He sounded similar. Cut me some slack here. There's a lot of yays. We've also got, I guess, the main girl is voiced by Aoi Yuki, mm-hmm. who's doing Karin from Fena, a.k.a. Froppy from My Hero, a.k.a.
yeah.
Mizuho from Sunny Boy. She's been in a lot of stuff recently. She's a very, very busy woman. And yeah, so she's good. She's got some solid roles that she's done. So VA-wise, it looks promising.
Yeah, those are the only two that I was also keeping my eye on for this season. So,
well, as always, if any of you guys have recommendations on what we should put on our watch list for fall 2021, please reach out to us. Let us know. You can contact us via our website, through email, on our Instagram at The Strictly Series, on Twitter at Strictly Series. And we always welcome recommendations because we never want to miss out on a really good anime. I feel like every season there's always something we missed out on, like Odd Taxi. That's on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I know we missed out on that one and people have been suggesting that left and right. So we'll eventually watch Odd Taxi. 86 is another one. Again, thank you, Emily, for that recommendation. So yeah, we don't want to miss out on anything that's good for this season. Please let us know if we should add anything to our list. And that wraps up episode 58 of Strictly Anime. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We really, really appreciate you guys. And if you enjoy the podcast and would like to support the show, as well as tune into our season final reviews, head over to patreon.com/thestrictlyseries and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming service so you can be notified when new episodes premiere every Monday. Follow us on Instagram at The Strictly Series and on Twitter at Strictly Series, and connect with us there or on our website, thestrictlyseries.com, to share your thoughts on the anime we review or send us any recommendations. You'll also find more info on Strictly JoJo, our other podcast dedicated to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay safe, stay healthy, stay weeb.
Oh, we forgot. Happy birthday.
Oh my God.
To you.
Thank you. Thank you.